Hi, this is Brent Barber, the founding director of the Bicycle Film Festival, and this is Resonance FM. Ride on until the break of dawn, because you don't stop.
This is Resonance 104.4 FM, and it's the Bike Show, Monday evening. My name's Jack Thurston, and on today's show, I'm going to be riding with Brent Barber of the Bicycle Film Festival, which he brought to London back in September for the first time in its five-year history. But before that, we're off on a pilgrimage of kinds to deepest, darkest Suffolk. The 13th of October was the first anniversary of the death of John Peel, legendary radio DJ and breaker, or promoter at least, of many of the bands who it would be impossible to think about British music, or even any music in the world, without. And Barry Mason of Southwark Cyclists, ever the kind of entrepreneurial dreamer of bike rides, thought that the 13th of October would make an excellent moment to have the first John Peel Memorial bike ride. They decided to ride from Manningtree Station to Great Finborough, where John Peel is buried. And Kieran Yates joined them to find out what happened.
I can ride right by their lecherous stairs like they're not there, because I don't care. On my bicycle, ride right by on my bicycle. Join us! Join my bike gang! You can be the president of my bike gang.
I'm with a few of the Southwark cyclists on the train to Manningtree in Essex. It's Thursday morning and it's very cloudy and miserable looking out there, but we're kind of hoping that it's going to be cleared up by the time we get to the coast. We're going to Manningtree to cycle the 26 miles, is it? From Manningtree to Great Finborough, where John Peel is buried in the churchyard there. Whose idea was it to instigate this inaugural John Peel Memorial bike ride? Okay, Barry, and what was the idea behind it?
It's a really good excuse for a ride, basically. I saw the John Peel Day was announced by Radio 1 a couple of months ago, and I just thought it's a good excuse for a ride. And I'd, by complete coincidence, been cycling around Suffolk with my partner, and we'd stumbled across his grave. And I like visiting churches and churchyards from the aesthetics rather than the religious point of view, because I'm not religious. But we'd stumbled across his grave, and I just thought it'd be nice to revisit it on John Peel Day.
Right, so there's no great connection with John Peel and cycling.
As far as I know, John Peel couldn't even ride a bike.
I think John Peel was a champion of the underdog. He was a bit like Johnny Cash playing in the American prisons. It's not as if he had, you know, was fond of criminals, but he was a champion of the underdog.
this tiny little stage in the corner of the pub here. You brought it with you in the corner of the pub in Great Pimber, and this was John Peel's local pub.
That's the village he lived in, yes. And
Yes. And you're playing here tonight.
We are indeed.
Your band is?
They're Slightly Soiled.
Slightly Soiled.
Yes.
And how do you know John Peel?
Well, he supported us over the years. We played at his 65th birthday party at his home in the Marquee last year, obviously. And we were one of his sort of local favourite bands. We played some music that he likes and enjoys.
What kind of music was there?
Well, actually, funnily enough, it's country music.
Right.
A lot of it, yes.
Traditional,
and then those old cotton fields back home, you know, that sort of thing. And The Lonesome Fugitive was one of his favourites, a Merle Haggard song. So, yes, totally different to John's music that he played.
Right.
He actually enjoyed the, you know, the countryside of it.
Yeah. Great stuff.
And he came to hear us when he could, and... no, we were pleased to be here to do a little bit in his memory.
And you'll get a good turnout tonight.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so, yeah.
Lots of people from the village.
Yes, I think so. It's been advertised in the local magazine and that. So, yes, we hope that there'll be a good crowd. Well, we'll know there'll be several in to give us a look anyhow.
Great. Yeah. Well, have a nice evening.
Okay, and, then. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, celebrate in style.
We will.
Yeah, we will. As long as the beer keeps going. Thanks very much.
Down every road, there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home. I raised a lot of cane back in my younger days. While Mama used to pray my crops would fail. Now I'm a hunted fugitive with just two ways. Outrun the law or spend my life in jail. I'd like to settle down, but they won't let me. A fugitive must be a rolling stone. Down every road, there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home. I'm lonely, but I can't afford the luxury of having one I love to come along. She'd only slow me down and they'd catch up with me. For he who travels fastest goes alone. I'd like to settle down, but they won't let me. A fugitive must be a rolling stone. Down every road, there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home. I'm on the run, the highway is my home.
Okay, rain's finally stopped. Here we are at Great Bimborough Parish Church, Church of St Andrew. What can you tell me about the church, Barry?
It's got a long, it's got a really tall steeple.
It is very, very tall. Barry thinks it's very distinctive.
I cannot remember who the architect is.
I believe it was somebody who was trained by August Pugin.
It was a
Augustus Pugin.
It was a disciple of Pugin. I've forgotten his name. A local architect. It's a lovely church covered in flints, really high tower. And legend has it.
We saw it for quite a way.
We saw it from a few miles back, even in the mist. And legend has it that it's a very tall tower because the vicar who commissioned it his wife used to go out on her horse, and it meant that she could find a way home from miles away. Whether that's true or not, but it's a nice sort of local story. But I love all the flints.
Is that why Canary Wharf's so tall as well?
It's so that all the young bankers, having got pissed at lunchtime, can find their way back to the office. That's right.
At the grave of John Peel. It's a very simple little grave. The wooden cross on it saying John R.P. Ravenscroft, and there's a Liverpool scarf on there and a few postcards. This one says Thursday the 29th of July 2004. It's the anniversary of you playing one of our songs on your show. A great night for us that we will remember forever. Not such a good night for you. There were technical problems and you had to abandon the show, but fortunately you put us on early and we were so grateful for that. If we never get anywhere in this life, we have been played by you and that will do for us. You and the 29th of July will always be special to us. Cunk.
Right, I know the first two verses of Tina's...
Can you sing?
I think there are... There perhaps is the third verse, but I know the very last verse is the first verse repeated. I cannot sing at all, but I think we should be here in joy and celebration.
And shivering.
And shivering. A teenage dream is so hard to beat.
Every time
she walks down the street. Another girl in the neighbourhood. I wish she mine, she looks so good. I wanna hold her tight. Get teenage kicks right through the night.
Teenage dreams so hard to beat. Every time she walks down the street, another girl in the neighborhood. Wish she was mine, she looks so good. I wanna hold her tight. Get teenage kicks right through the night. I'm gonna call her on the telephone. Have her over cause I'm all alone.
Well, that was The Undertones, predictably enough, concluding Kieran Yates' report on the John Peel Memorial Bike Ride, courtesy of Southwark Cyclists. Well, one of the great things to have happened in London over the summer was the arrival of the Bicycle Film Festival on two sultry nights at the beginning of September at the Cochrane Theatre. And I've been talking with Brent Barber, who's the film festival's organiser based in New York, for quite a few months before that, and it was a huge achievement to bring it to London. So I was really delighted with that. And I met up with Brent the morning after the film festival to ask him how he was feeling.
I feel good about London and the potential of the Bicycle Film Festival here for next year. I'm already thinking to the future.
I mean, what's the underlying idea behind the Bicycle Film Festival? Because it's been going for 5 years now.
I just want to create a celebration of a lifestyle of bicycle riding and how that helps people in their daily lives in the community as well. It's really amazing because I'm just kind of a little spacey and I'm really tired as I'm talking because when I said help people in their daily lives, I'm like, what am I saying? But truly, people have come up to me and said that riding a bike has changed their life. And it's like... For me, I've been riding my bike my whole life, so it hasn't really changed my life so much. But I can see the differences, you know, clearly of like a lifestyle of riding a bike daily.
And so what were some of the highlights of this year's festival for you?
Well, I never admit that I like one film over the other. But I'm pretty excited about the whole urban bike culture screenings and how popular those have become. I mean, there's a fervor. I mean, that's the opening night program that we had to do another screening here in London, where a lot of that urban bike culture stuff hasn't really boiled to the point it has in the United States.
Yeah. What is urban bike culture for you?
When I'm referring to this urban bike culture, I mean, urban bike culture can be anybody that rides a bike in an urban area. But when I'm talking about this whole urban bike culture thing is generally people are taking on as a lifestyle. They're pretty creative. I can be more specific about people who are riding fixed gears. It's kind of like a post-skateboard thing. There's like bike clubs or gangs, if you will. It's not really subversive anymore to... or rebellious necessarily for a young person to be a Hell's Angel, for example, like, and drive your Harley. I mean, a Harley costs, what, I don't know, $30,000-$40,000. Doctors ride those. You know, you're a college kid or a post-college kid and you want to live your life differently, you're probably not going to do that. But what's happening now is that you see, like, people, like, really pushing the envelope and, you know, people are looking at them and how they're living their lives, like groups like Chunk 66 and Black Label, you know, NYC and Minneapolis. I mean, that actually has chapters all over the United States now.
It's kind of traditional on the bike show if we go for a ride.
That's awesome.
And a chat to have a little preview of the bikes that are going to be on the road. Describe your bike today, Brent.
This is what we call in New York a downtown beater.
It's a kind of old, early 80s red sort of Peugeot road bike.
Yeah, and this is a...
10-speed?
Yeah, I think it's 10, but I only use 2, if that.
Is there anything particularly that you like about it? I mean, I'm kind of attracted to the mudguard, made kind of improvised mudguard made from a mineral water bottle, so kind of plastic mineral water bottle taped on the back there.
I like how the seat squeaks when I ride, so people know I'm coming. If you sit on it hard enough, it goes up and down.
But it's a, you know, it's a reliable, sturdy steed. And what you have brought from New York, which is a very frightening-looking lock.
It's a New York lock.
I mean, what is this thing?
Sorry. It's a New York lock. It weighs like 5 pounds. I don't know what kind of metal it is. I know it's cut in a certain way. I don't think people probably could get through it here unless they have these big water saws. But yeah, I mean, this bike right here, it's a good bike. It's my friend's bike, even though it probably doesn't have the value of another bike. I wouldn't want it to get stolen, so under
your stewardship.
Yeah, under my stewardship, thank you. I'm tired, actually. To try running a film festival and then, like, next day talking on the radio. So I bring these heavy locks with me everywhere I go.
Well, now, Brent, you can see on the right here, we've got some... mounted policemen, or a policeman and a policewoman on horses. Is that something you see in New York every day?
Not every day, but I do. They go down my street, actually, on 15th Street.
Ayo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, or Haitian. Name is Fife Dog from the Zulu Nation. Told you in the jam that we could get down. Now let's knock the boots like the group H-Town. You got VPD all on your bedroom wall. But I'm above the rim and this is how I ball. A gritty little something on the New York street. This is how I represent over this here beat. Talking about you.
Yo, I took you out. Perceptions on my mind for the whole damn route. My mind was in a frenzy in a horny state. But I couldn't drop dimes cause you couldn't relate.
I just went through a red light and left Jack back. I also, like, I can't tell where to stop. There's no lines. These are like polka dots here. And then they have these, like...
I think that's the line back there, no?
You can't see where the traffic lights... Oh, that's our line. We have to stay back there. Okay.
Well, I love how the pedestrians go across here. I think that's the idea.
I love how people queue up as well when they wait for the red light. Like, bikes could be stacked behind each other for, like...
So have you observed a sort of sense of politeness and decorum in London cycling that
definitely departs from
the New York style?
Definitely. I got a dirty look from a woman for going through a red light. She cut up to me and, like, scowled at me.
All right, we're going to take a right here.
feel I should have handed that woman a Bicycle Film Festival program.
Or the woman who scowled at you for going through a red light.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or is London feeling very spaced out today?
It's not just you. I'm spaced out. But I don't know. I can't really speak about London. I've only been here 3 weeks. But, there was a lot of weird incidences on the road as we've been riding here. Like, cars going in reverse towards us. Buses stopping for us when they didn't need to. Pretty woman looking our way.
What we've got here is the bike lane at the top of Waterloo Bridge.
As the cars are honking at us to get out of the way.
And then there's a cone put here because oftentimes a car will actually drive over here. And we just sent them back, did our little thing for enforcing the law. All right, we're going to take a right down the Strand.
But it's really interesting. My approach to this whole, the obstacles of riding in an urban environment such as London. Hey, James. I see James, biker guy. One of the things that I noticed that I try to do is just stay positive, you know, and don't like interact with like these confrontations. Often, if I'm aware of what's going on behind me and a car is just like honking at me, and I just ignore it, you know. I think that's the best thing. Riding in the streets can be like a video game, and just have fun.
Well, we have the Strand, which is usually clogged with buses and vans and all that. We have it to ourselves today because the road has been closed to traffic, at least in a westerly direction, as a result of the Tour of Britain. This is actually a real beautiful thoroughfare. I mean, the critical mass comes down here every month. This is always on the route. Can you imagine, all the way down to the Trafalgar Square filled with bikes. Well, we've actually arrived here, and look, these are all the team cars storming past. I mean, look at the speed that these guys travel at.
Wow.
Absolutely really phenomenal. Great. Well, and what the Tour of Britain is today, it's the final day, and it's a criterium day. I think a 1 mile circuit that they do 45 times.
Oh, great. So we didn't just miss it.
They just keep going round and round. Do you race a bike around New York at all?
When I'm not too busy, I'll try to enter an alley cat here and there, yeah. I love beating messengers.
We've run into, is it Joe?
Yes, that's right.
Friend of Brent's, and you're a bike messenger in London, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
And did you go to the film festival at all?
No, I missed it completely. Although I did get to see Monster Truck twice in the pub.
See, that's my thing. I should never show people the movies because they think they already saw them. But the experience of the festival really is not the movies, it's the people there.
No, I do regret it massively if that happens.
Well, we've just missed the Tour of Britain going past again. I mean, how are they going past every like three minutes or so, is it? How long are they taking? It's a mile course, is it?
I don't know, I just got here.
I mean, one of the other films that was amazing was the party with the bicycle jousting, the tall bikes.
Yeah, I think that people probably haven't seen that before. That's crazy. Like,
these are like two bikes welded one on top of the other, and a guy on top with a kind of lance, basically, jousting against somebody else.
Yeah, usually two gangs. But it's funny because in New York City, Chunk 66 and Black Label are kind of like the big ones, the big bike club gang people that are like the best jousters. But this year, and it's really amazing to show you how this culture is spreading, a small town in Virginia called Richmond, these guys from this gang, I can't even remember their name, no one even knew who they were, just came and beat everybody.
They've been practicing.
Yeah, well, we all talked about it because in New York, no one has time to like hang out and practice jousting. In Richmond, they're like, you know, it's a less urban environment and less busy. Like, they spend all their days practicing jousting, you know.
Where's Roger Hammond and where's Mark Cavendish? Those are the other riders we're looking for to figure in the final straight. Half a lap to go.
Well, we're down at the course of the Tour of Britain. It's just finished. I'm not quite sure what happened. I mean, that's the great thing about coming down to watch a bike race is you don't really know what's happening. You're just kind of enjoying the atmosphere, isn't it?
Yeah, someone won.
What are you going to take home to New York from bringing the Bike Film Festival to London for the first time?
I'm inspired that there is a broad worldwide bike movement. It's confirmed it. Like, biking is growing on different levels. So it's amazing. Even just since May, I've seen a lot more bikers here in London.
And so what kind of a program can we look forward to next year for the Bike Film Festival? Bigger and better?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, we're going to have more programs, different, we'll have more sports-related things, we'll show some classics. I mean, we could do a program right now of films that London's never seen, but at the same time, we're accepting submissions, hope that people are inspired by the films they saw and like, go out and make a film.
So if people want to find out more about the Bike Film Festival and how to submit their entries, what's the best way to do that?
Submissions open in November, and you go through February, so just go to the website, which is www.bicyclefilmfestival.com. Bicyclefilmfestival.com.
Well, have a good trip back to New York, and look forward to seeing you soon in London. Thanks for joining us on the bike show.
Thanks a lot, Jack. This is an awesome program. I've really had a good time. It's really fun. I don't think I've ever done an interview riding. I've done plenty of interviews and like B-roll shots for television riding a bike, but I never did an interview actually riding, so thanks a lot, this is fun.
Well, if Brent Barber was in London this Friday, there's no doubt that he'd be out on Critical Mass. It's the Halloween Critical Mass, which is always a really fun one, lots of people dressed up, and it's also the first Critical Mass since the Metropolitan Police wrote a letter saying that they wanted to ban Critical Mass, or they wanted to prevent it from operating in the normal way that it operates. So if you feel strongly about it, get out on the streets. It's the 28th of October, Friday evening at 6:30, starting under Waterloo Bridge.